Hello and welcome. This is Lights Out and away we go with the episode. We're the Formula One podcast for fans and by fans. I'm Will, and as I look across the digital garage, as always, I'm joined by my co-driver, or should I say my co-host Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hello, Will. Hello again, listeners. I'm very well, thank you. Enjoying my bank holiday Monday very much. How about you?
Very good. Me too. I've had a lovely 2 weeks off work. I'm now a married man. I've been away to Lisbon as well, so I had a very nice relaxing time off. It's nice to end with a bank holiday weekend, and I'm sure it'll be a fun 4-day week at work. It definitely won't be depressing at all.
No, definitely not. At least summer's coming, and some good Formula One's happened, so.
Yeah, and the podcast did get promoted at my wedding.
It did, yes, very heavily. In some cases, in sarcastic form. Yeah. Thanks, Greg. But it was, yeah, it was nice.
It was good. And that moment was recorded forever, so we could just clip that up and put it on our social media. of that one moment we got a shout out. But yeah, no, all very good. And we've had a Formula One race this weekend, so we're giving you our thoughts on the Miami Grand Prix, which is the third time we've been at Miami now.
Yep.
Yeah. Firstly, I'll ask you my usual question. Who won the race, Sam?
Well, Will, in an absolute turn up for the books, it wasn't Max Verstappen. It was England and Somerset, proud to say, Lando Norris in a McLaren. Happy days.
Very happy days indeed. It was a nice relief for it not to be Max. I think the way the weekend was going with him being on pole and then winning the sprint races in pretty much easy fashion as well, it did feel like that. And I should put my hands up. I completely double booked myself. I went to the cinema and booked it to go to the cinema when I realised, and I didn't realise it clashed with the race starting. So I came out with, I think it's like 15 laps to go. And I saw a message from you being like, it's on for Lando. I was like, oh, what does this mean? And then quickly on the bus ride home was watching the final 15 laps. But not the best for me. But I was saying to you before we started recording, going into cinema, I was a bit like, well, you know, it's probably going to be another Max win. Not going to miss much. And then, came out and it was literally history was happening. And probably one of the best weekends we've had in Formula One for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely one of the best races, one of the most enjoyable. I mean, not just because Lando won, but it was really close all the way through the race. There was never a point where Max was 10, 15 seconds up the road and there was no jeopardy. It was always really close, even when it was sort of Piastri and Leclerc chasing down Max Verstappen in the first stint. They were really close, and I think Piastri did a, we'll talk about him in a bit, but I think he did an outstanding job actually keeping as close as he did for as long as he did. So yeah, it was never the gap was never really more than about 3 seconds, so it was always like a good amount of jeopardy, lots of really good overtakes, some really 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 bad ones, which again we will talk about. But yeah, I thought it was the best race of this season and probably one of the best of the last couple of years, definitely.
Oh wow,
for me. Yeah,
wow, that's a glowing endorsement for Miami.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, the last couple have been pretty good. I thought the first race in Miami, I think we both agree, was one of the worst. One of the worst we've watched. Last year was quite good. There was a bit of a fight, wasn't there, between Perez and Verstappen for the win. Verstappen obviously won. And then, yeah, here we are this year. And it's been really good. And the sprint was pretty good too. So, yeah, I've enjoyed Miami very much.
Yeah, I think Miami can thank Kevin Magnussen for his antics, which we'll come on to later, because I think he definitely provided a lot of entertainment on both Saturday and Sunday. But anyway, we'll come back to that. So yeah, Lando Norris, first win. His 110th race, and he won. Beat Jenson Button to it, who took 113 races. So yeah, your two Somerset pals have been battling it out. You must feel very proud as a Somersetonian.
I was very pleased. Yeah. Particularly watching Jenson interview him after the race, I just thought, it was just quite nice. And then I think they had Lando's dad on like video call, I think, on Sky, and they were like, will the cider be flowing? And I was like, yes, it will, you bet it will.
Nice.
You heard him, his dad was like, yes, of course. And I really enjoyed a lot of the like driver's chat afterwards as well, where Lewis apparently went up to Lando and said, change your flights, you're not going home tonight. You're staying in Miami with us. And nice. they apparently had a big party last night and things, and the flight back was today instead, so. Yeah, good. Very happy. Very pleased. And yes, took him a long time, but worth it. And he has been overdue for a while, hasn't he? Let's face it. He's had a couple of good opportunities. Got incredibly lucky in Russia, where it rained and cost him the win. What year was that? 2020?
21. Yeah.
And yeah, he's had a couple of other, he had a run of what, 3-4 second places in a row last year, where he just couldn't beat Max Verstappen. So yeah, long overdue. And yeah, I was absolutely made up for him, as was everybody else, seemingly.
Well, I think he had the record for the longest number of number of podiums without a win. I think he had 15 podiums before he won a race, which is, you know, 15 podiums is itself is a pretty good achievement. But I think it was a quite an easy stick to beat Lando with, being like, oh, you know, he's never actually won a race. Mm. Whereas now he's, I think also he got quite a lot of abuse as well from like fans of the sport saying he wasn't very good, or wasn't good enough to be one of the best. But actually, I don't know about you, but since the last 12, 18 months, I've watched him a bit more closely and I've been really, really impressed with his driving, but also development as well of how he's matured as a driver from when he first came to the sport. And I think he's, you know, if that McLaren keeps developing the rate they were, like they were saying in the Sky commentary at the end, like the last season, that McLaren was last at this race, and now it's just won the race on pace alone, basically. And they brought, was it 10 upgrades to Norris and 5 of them to Piastri? Like,
yeah,
they're giving him the machinery to work his stuff and put his talent at work. And I think we're definitely seeing, he could all come together quite nicely for McLaren if they carry on this sort of path and the development of him, especially with Piastri is in reserve as well. But yeah, great for Lando, because he did, like you say, he did deserve that win, didn't he?
Yeah, and there was what I really enjoyed as well was that there was not a huge amount of luck about it. I think there have been other races where Max has sort of coughed up a victory because he's, you know, like earlier this season, for example, had a problem with his brakes, didn't he? Brake failure in the rear right, wasn't it, I think? So like if misfortune befalls Max, then great, someone else is going to win the race. Whereas it was quite nice in this case for him to be on track, him still be himself, albeit potentially struggling quite a lot with the setup on the Red Bull. And they struggled all weekend, to be fair. But for Lando to not just win, but put like 8 seconds on Max Verstappen in that final stint under immense pressure to win his first race. Incredible. Yeah, really good. I'm just really pleased for him because it'll be the first of plenty, I'm sure. He'll win lots more. He is very good. And I think as well, if you think about like his relationship with Max and Sainz, they all get on like really well, but Lando's kind of the only one in that little clique that hasn't won a race. Like same with Leclerc and things. Like he's always been the one that like has got bags of talent but hasn't ever made it happen. And I do think this is like a big moment for him from a career perspective, because it will just change his mindset slightly. It would also change potentially how some of those other drivers think about him in the context of like their overall performance in racing and stuff. So yeah, it was really important for him to get the win. I'm just really glad he's got it done like this year in a McLaren that's, as you say, is improving really quickly. Yeah, they finished a minute and a half behind Max last year. So think about how much time they've made up through those upgrades and development. It's incredible effort for the people of Woking. So well done McLaren, yeah. Well done Lando.
Yeah, I mean I think the bit about his mentality and like, you know, building from this thing is a really good point. I think he said he felt the most confident ever at the start of this season, and I think that'll only increase now. And I think it, you know, it's hard to see where that McLaren is. We need to probably see it after a couple more races to see where it paces overall, but it's definitely got quicker. And if it really is as quick or level with the Red Bull, then you know we're going to be in for a great season, I think, of potentially some much closer racing between teams, which is something we've not really seen for, you know, the odd occasion. And like you say, it was nice that it finished with Max behind him. It wasn't like in Australia where Max had to retire, or Singapore where he was quite a bit behind. He actually was having to chase Lando, which is a position we've not seen probably since 2020, really, or 2021.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
yeah. No, great to see. And also, Max was pretty gracious as well about coming second to Lando.
Yeah, he was. It was really nice, actually, I thought. Like, I mean, Max particularly, I think all the drivers, to be fair, they all made a beeline to go and congratulate Lando. And he is clearly a really popular member of the paddock, I think. And like even Fred Vasseur turning up and putting a McLaren hat on and shaking a load of champagne all over the place because he was pleased for him as well. It's just quite nice, I think. But yeah, Max really led the sort of celebrations and stuff for Lando and was very gracious and was quite funny as well. Like just clearly didn't take it too hard, like sort of took it quite lightly. I do think that a lot of that will probably come from a place of serene confidence because he's won so many bloody races the last few years and he knows he's got a very good chance of winning the next one. But yeah, it was just really nice. I think just really nice to see.
Yeah, because I don't think we can get carried away just yet and say we've got a championship battle between Norris and Verstappen. I think it's far too early. I think we need Norris to go and win a couple of races in a row just to even out the points a bit more and for us to take that a bit more seriously. But it's a promising start. And then I think you're right. I think if Max feels more threatened, he can probably accept the odd race going here or there. Like he was very chilled about losing in Melbourne as well, which shows you, you know, he's got sort of a monopoly over race wins. He's like, yeah, I'm happy to give that one up.
Someone else can host the podcast this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'll give that one away, but don't worry, I'll win the next three, so it'll be all fine. I mean, it was probably for Lando, we should actually talk about how he won the race. It was probably the strategy of managing his tires so well and then just being in the right place at the right time to benefit from the safety car coming out and just getting that lead ahead of that. And I think, you know, Christian Horner was saying that because Max driving over the bollard impacted his performance, that's why he wasn't able to overtake Lando. But I think you were saying beforehand that actually, you know, Lando was quick the whole race and he was had that pace way before. So
yeah,
we can not for the first time disregard what Christian Horner is trying to portray as reality. We'll leave that there. But it was a great bit of strategy, wasn't it, from McLaren and to be in the right place at the right time to benefit from it. Because he started fifth, by the end of the first lap was sixth, and then
that's right,
comes through and wins the race.
Yeah, I think it was just brilliant work from McLaren and from Lando, because he got tucked up behind Checo for quite a while and couldn't make the pass happen despite DRS because the Red Bull was so good in a straight line. And that, I think, informed how they thought about the rest of the race, because as soon as Checo had to come in, because obviously Checo couldn't manage his tyres as well as everybody else, classic Sergio Perez behaviour, it released him. And like the pace he had, I mean, he was really quick all weekend. So he did a really, really quick time. I think he did the quickest time of sprint qualifying in Q2. Do you remember like a few weeks back when Leclerc did that? Like he put in an amazing lap in Q2 and then ruined it in Q3.
Yeah.
He did the exact same in the sprint qualifying, Lando, and had a really poor Q3, but there was obviously that really good underlying pace there. So I think they made a really good decision to leave him out. But I think a lot of that was Lando like spending that time behind Checo thinking, if I at any point I'm sat behind either a Ferrari or a Red Bull, it's going to be quite difficult for me to do much here. We need to find a way to play this so in such a way that there's a chance that I end up at the front. And yeah, I think he managed his tyres in such a way that he made that a possibility. And then McLaren just made the right call, waited for the right moment. As you say, Magnussen did them a massive favour. Safety car comes out and boom, there you go. Track position, fresh tyres, off you go. And in clear air, the McLaren was the fastest car all weekend. So they just played it really well. Good bit of strategy, great driving from Lando, good decision making from him. And I mean, Max said after the race, there was no discernible difference in how the car handled after he ran over the bollard he didn't like very much. And he struggled quite a lot this weekend. I mean, he ended up winning the sprint, but like in qualifying and stuff, he just couldn't quite seemingly get the balance of the car right, struggled on the tyres. And it was a bit of a weird weekend, I thought, like because the track ramping up and track conditions changing quite a bit over the course of the weekend, a lot of the drivers really struggled with getting the tyres up to temperature and managing them. Lando didn't. Like he was on it the whole race. I'm really pleased. It all just came together really nicely. I think you need a little bit of luck these days to beat a Red Bull. I think we'll probably see that for most of the season. Like Max will probably win most of the races and there'll be some where he does get beaten on pace, but there'll still be, I think, a factor here or there that like he's been hampered in some form or another. And in this case, the timing of the safety car was absolutely perfect for Lando and they took full advantage. But that's not to take anything away from him, because driving with Max Verstappen behind you must be quite stressful if you haven't won a race before. You've got him hunting you down, particularly thinking about his previous efforts and stuff, where he had Lewis doing it in 2021 in Russia and Max previously in places like Silverstone and things, where he has led races but he's always had Verstappen breathing down his neck. So to demonstrate the maturity he did, drive at the pace he did and put 8 seconds on it by the end of the race was a really good sign. So very good. Yeah. There we go. We've eulogized Lando for a good chunk of time there. So if there are anyone listening who thinks we've like been a bit down on Lando the last like year and a half, hopefully this makes up for it, because we're very pleased.
Yeah, well, I feel like our views on Lando have been developing and maturing and our love for him have been growing. So and we're very happy to see a British driver. It's not Lewis or George. It's very happy to see Lando. And it is nice that, like I said at the start, for him to finally get that win. And also, George won his race quite a while ago now in 2022. So it's nice that he's part of that group. We just need Albon to get on the top spot, and then all those three of that group will have all won a race. Before we move on to Kevin Magnussen and his antics over the weekend, should give a very brief mention to Piastri, who was having a great race, but he got very unlucky at the end.
Yes, he did. I mean, he put himself a little bit out of position. Anyway, I think with the stuff that happened with Sainz, but in general, his race was really good. He had a really good start. absolutely sent it around the outside of turn one and ended up P2 after the first couple of corners from starting in sixth, I think. So yeah, did a really good job at the start. And then, yeah, you could just see, like, as I said, the McLaren in clean air was very good. I mean, he had fewer upgrades than Lando, but still a very good car. And yeah, he did a great job managing all of that first stint. And it's a bit unlucky with Sainz. I think they came together a few laps before a little bit where Sainz sort of thought he'd got the move done. He hadn't, for my money at all, got the move done. Piastri held the inside line and forced Sainz to back out of it. And Sainz was on the radio basically giving Piastri and McLaren an ultimatum saying you should give the place back or it'll be a 10-second penalty or whatever. And then I really like the radio message to Piastri, actually. It's like, well, they said to him, Ferrari have been on the phone and they are saying that they believe you have gained an unfair advantage and forced Carlos Sainz off the track and should give the place back. We, McLaren, disagree. So crack on. And they did. And you could just tell Sainz was absolutely fuming about it. And then, yeah, low, you know, shock horror. Fuming Carlos Sainz sends it up the inside and then shunts into the side of Piastri and cost him the race, really, like broke his front wing. Sainz entirely at fault, got a penalty afterwards, although that won't be any consolation to Piastri because it's obviously cost him a hatful of points. But yeah, in general, I think Piastri had a really good weekend. That first stint in particular was really impressive. And yeah, he's not far off sort of challenging for podiums and things, I think, soon. So yeah, I thought we should mention him as well because he did have a really good weekend. Just Sainz ruined it for him, sadly.
Dear me. But yeah, great weekend for the papaya crew.
Yeah.
All very happy. Sales of orange will be going up, I imagine. We've teased it throughout, but come on, let's get to it. Kevin Magnussen, for the first time ever in the Lights Out podcast history, we have both awarded our Latifi to him, which has never happened before. We're giving it to the same person once. Even when Esteban Ocon was getting multiple penalties in one race, we have never given him the same Latifi the same weekend. I'll hand over to you first, Sam, for you to make your case of why you think Kevin Magnussen deserves the Latifi this weekend, and I'll try and mop up anything you've missed.
Okay, so I text you during the sprint, so we hadn't even got to the Grand Prix yesterday. On Saturday, I text you, I think, during the sprint to say, Magnussen's getting my Latifi, I don't even care what happens in the Grand Prix.
Which is the first, because we never had that before. We never had a sprint or qualifying moment that has qualified someone for, or got someone the Latifi straight away.
No, he's just, Haas seem to have this thing at the moment where, like, to find a way to get some points, they will sacrifice one driver and the other one will reap the rewards. Now, I personally think the FIA, based on what's happened this season already, probably need to think about team penalties in situations where, like, this is quite clearly for the benefit of Hülkenberg and far to the detriment of everybody else racing behind Magnussen. But yeah, it was just his driving standards were just really poor. Like, he does drive like a bit of a menace anyway, I think. He's got that in him. We've seen that throughout his career. But yeah, on Saturday, it was just new levels. And it's not just because it was Lewis Hamilton. He was shunting off the road and forcing all over the place. Yeah, he was just really poor. Like, quite clearly, like, endangering other drivers to stay ahead of them, doing all the unsportsmanlike things that you can do in a racing car without actually just driving into the side of somebody and binning both cars in the wall. Like, it came close a couple of times. And Lewis, I think, he was incredibly cool about it on the radio. He was like, yep, nearly had pretty big accident there.
Yeah, I heard that. That was quite funny. Yeah. Oh, just nearly had a big crash there. Yep, noted. Thanks, Lewis. Got that on camera. Thanks very much. Like, yeah. It was always like that. Like, both him and Bono were very like, yep, we've got that camera. It's all fine. Like, don't worry. Like, as if it's routine. But
well, I think it is routine, yeah. And that's part of the problem. Like, I think if that's another driver, I think Lewis is, or another driver is probably like losing their shit a bit on the radio. But because Magnussen's done this already this season, never mind throughout his career, but particularly this season in this weird situation we've got where we've got like four teams that are basically going to guarantee to get points every weekend. A couple of teams that might, and Haas being in the mix for that one final point in 10th, that usually means that they will sacrifice a driver to ensure that the other one finishes 10th. And it's exactly what happened during the sprint, and it was exactly what's happened previously in other races. So yeah, on just for sheer appalling driving, I was given to Magnussen anyway, and that was even before we got to his antics during the Grand Prix yesterday. So I'll stop there. I've covered Saturday. I'll hand over to you to talk about how his Latifi got doubled.
Well, Yeah, I suppose the one thing I'd add from Saturday was there's one move where it's going like quite before they go to the straight near the final sector, and he just cuts the corner because he doesn't fancy it because he wants the advantage.
Yeah.
And that is like PlayStation 4-1 game online antics where you've got people doing that sort of stuff. Like, I've never seen someone do that so like unsporting like behavior in a race. Like, yeah, people take evasive action sometimes, but it was very, very clear that he was cutting the corner, and he had Lewis in the background like, yep, he just cut the corner and gained a massive advantage. You're like, yep, noted as well. Sunday, so obviously I've only seen the highlights, so I might have missed other moments. But the main moment is the crash with Sargeant, where Sargeant is ahead and clearly has the line going to the corner. And Magnussen just decides to fully send it and clip Sargeant, taking Sargeant out of the race. And somehow Magnussen survives through and carries on. And I think he got, was it a 10-second penalty? And then he didn't serve the penalty properly. Mm-hmm. They didn't change any tyres, which you're not allowed to do. So then he got another penalty as well. And then I think his final classification was 19th, but it wasn't great. And yeah, it just, you know, Magnussen is usually quite a reliable, quite a fierce defender, but that was just stupidity. That was just like, he should not have sent it. It was very, very desperate. And I did feel quite sorry for Logan Sargeant because he's also having a rough time at the moment, just with his future in the sport under such scrutiny. And then to be just, you know, initially I thought, oh, should Sargeant have seen him coming? But I think you made the point when we were discussing beforehand that every driver that's had the inside line there has always stayed there. And it's the driver behind that backs out. And yep. Magnussen, for some reason, decided just to plow on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's because two cars won't fit into that gap. Everyone else had to back out of it. Saw it a few times during the race yesterday. And yeah, he just seemingly refused and was he was same as Saturday. He was more willing to have a crash than he was to cough up position. And yeah,
which is that's
a line. That is a line you just don't cross, I think, in cars that can do 200 miles an hour, and it's just not acceptable. The more time goes on, the more Nico Hülkenberg's comments about him, I don't know when it was, what, 2015, 2016, where he's walked over to him and said, once again, the most unsportsmanlike driver in Formula One. And Magnussen uttered the famous line in response, which we won't say here, so we don't have to have an explicit rating on the podcast. The more time that goes on, the more true that sounded. So.
Yeah. Why do you think he's suddenly doing it? Do you think he's suddenly so desperate? Do you think the order within a Haas is we must get points at no matter what cost? Or do you think he's desperate to prove to Haas that he's a team player and he will do whatever the team need him to do? To that, or do you think it's someone that's like, what is he, 35, 36, Magnussen? Getting to the end of my career, not quite got the talent I used to have. Let me just try some heroics just to see what can happen. And then, like, he's trying things that just never going to work because he's desperate to try and regain or think he's still got the talent he probably used to have. What do you put it down to for his antics and why he's suddenly doing this? Because we didn't really see this much last year. Maybe that's because the Haas was so much worse, but yeah. What's your assessment of why he's suddenly now behaving like this? Because we've seen this quite often this season.
Yeah, so I think it's pressure. I think he knows he's under pressure for his seat anyway. Mm. I think Ollie Bearman is a factor in that for sure. Like, he's kicking around just waiting for an opportunity to drive a Formula One car. And he is very, very good and highly rated and did a great job when he was in the Ferrari earlier this year. I also think Magnussen is struggling compared to Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg is the better driver in qualifying and race at the moment. He's getting, you know, Magnussen's being soundly beaten every weekend. That in turn cranks up the pressure. And I think particularly on the Sargeant incident, I think there's a little bit of Sargeant's reputation preceding him there. I think, like, it put it this way, I don't think it looks great for a driver who can't even overtake Logan Sargeant at the moment. Like, that's how it will be viewed by someone like Magnussen, I think. So yeah, that's probably why in that particular instance, he was like, I'm not coughing up the position to Logan Sargeant. That's not happening. I genuinely think if Logan Sargeant is, I don't know, pick your driver, Lewis Hamilton or whatever, I don't think Magnussen has that crash. I think it's because he knows it's Sargeant. He thinks, I should be overtaking Logan Sargeant here, particularly when my teammate is like challenging for points. The least I should be able to do is overtake a Williams being driven by Logan Sargeant. And he just sent it because he would rather that than, as I say, losing out on the position. So yeah, it all comes from pressure. But that doesn't mean it's acceptable. There are lots of other drivers under a lot of pressure as well. And none of them seemingly are driving around trying to play Mario Kart, which is what Magnussen should do. I thought Brundle's comments, was it McBrundle? I think it was Brundle. He was like, oh, Magnussen should have his own chair up in the steward's office this weekend. We spent so much time up there.
It was like some of the moves were sort of the antics that we saw when we were go-karting together, and some people were just fully sending it when they had no right to fully send it, or causing collisions when they shouldn't have done.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, you know, you may feel pressure of Ollie Bearman there. He's kind of inviting Ollie Bearman to have a free hit at him, because Magnussen's now got 10 penalty points on his license. If he gets two more, he'll be suspended, and he doesn't lose any of those points until the 9th of March 2025. So he's probably, on current form, we'll see Ollie Bearman in about 3 weeks' time or 2 weeks' time, because, you know, Magnussen seems determined to just rack up the points. And then, I mean, that would be very interesting actually to see Ollie Bearman come in again, but this time in a slower car, and just see how good he is on a slower car. I mean, and also, it may be, I don't know where it would be when it'd be, it'd always be perspective, but say it was on a slightly easier circuit, because the Jeddah is such a hard circuit. Mm. It would be quite cool if you saw him at, I don't know, a Silverstone, A for him being British, but also just to like a slightly easier circuit to see what his talent's like there. But yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't be sad to see Ollie Bearman in the Haas. I think it'd be very exciting. It would also help his cause of getting the seat permanently next year.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, because we now know Hülkenberg is definitely off. I did tease that in our last episode at China. He's definitely off now to Sauber Audi. So, yeah, I'm sure he's definitely feeling the pressure. Before we go to a break, shall we quickly cover off VCARB or RB or whatever we're calling them? Firstly, what a livery. One of livery. Absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, it did look good. I mean, I quite like their normal livery this year. It's one of my more favoured ones. Yeah, I know you didn't like it as much, but I quite liked it. A bit of a hark back to the old days. Yeah, good. I liked it. Yeah, it looked good this weekend, I thought. It suited Miami very well, I think, that livery. And yeah, it was just nice to have one there that wasn't a bit of a half-assed attempt a la Ferrari.
I mean, whenever a big team like that hints at a new livery, unless it's something really special, most often not, it's usually going to be a really half-hearted attempt. Mm-hmm. And I mean, whenever I saw the sort of teasers of, oh, we're going blue this weekend, I never expected the Ferrari to be fully blue. But what I think what then didn't help their case was that a lot of graphic designers then did up some amazing mock-ups of like blue Ferraris or red and blue Ferraris. And then what we did get was pretty meh. And then also it was plastered in HP sponsors logos, which is their new title partner, which also made it look worse as well.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of threw a massive Ferrari-shaped ball in the air for you to smash there, didn't I? Before we'd got done talking about RB. My bad, sorry. But I agree with you.
Good to mention it, though. Yes. Good to mention it. It's a nice bit of doubles partnership there.
Yes.
But yeah, RB, it was a good livery.
It was.
And kind of contrasting for fortunes for the drivers this weekend on Saturday with the return of Daniel Ricciardo, who was fourth in sprint race, really good in qualifying. And then for the race, kind of lost his form completely. It was like, what was he, 16th in the end?
15th.
15th in the end, yeah. Quite strange to have such contrasting performances day to day. And then you had Yuki that was kind of a bit off it on Saturday, but then finished well on Sunday. And now I believe is just ahead of Stroll in the World Championship and just behind Lewis Hamilton. So what a season he's having.
Yeah, he's having a fantastic season. Yeah, I mean, yesterday he beat a Mercedes, beat an Aston Martin and ended up in seventh. So yeah, really good. Because he's had quite a lot of like quite low points finishes, hasn't he? Finished in ninth and tenth quite a bit. So yeah, to pop up in seventh and pick up 6 points is quite big for him, quite big for RB. Yeah, it was a weird weekend for Ricciardo. He did look good on Saturday. I know I'm a bit down on the whole Ricciardo hype train. Like anytime Ricciardo does something good, Twitter loses its mind. It's like, oh my God, Ricciardo's back. And every time I'm like, have you not watched like 90% of the rest of his driving since he's come back, where he's been garbage, but it's fine. And yeah, I don't want to say chickens came home to roost, but they did a little bit yesterday in the Grand Prix. Yeah, he sort of started last and ended up finishing 15th, quite far behind his teammate. I don't know how many seconds down the road was it? Nearly 30, was it? 25, 30 seconds down the road? And that's where the safety car. So yes, not great, but there's a, I guess there are some seeds of hope there because his Saturday was quite good. Maybe there's a chance he can sort of rediscover some form, but yeah, he was well off it yesterday. I mean, I'm just looking at their fastest times as well. I think Yuki's was a 1:31.6. Ricciardo's a 1:32.1. So he's over half a second slower on their fastest lap. So, yeah.
Teammates.
It is quite a bit. But to be fair, I mean, like, Yuki is definitely the better driver right now. He's in better form, seemingly happy with the car, and, yeah, doing a very good job. So, yeah, it's really good for the car Barbie to Barbie B, whatever you want to, whatever. Whatever they're called. I'll just call them, let's call them just Yuki Tsunoda's team.
Yuki Tsunoda's team.
Yeah. They're doing very well.
The team that doesn't have Christian Horner.
Yeah. Yes. No comment. No comment. For the purposes of the lawyers, no comment.
Yeah, yeah, move on. We'll move on. We should just, before we go, very quickly before we go to break, we should mention Esteban Ocon.
Yes.
Got Alpine's first points of the season. Un point for Alpine.
Yes.
Le plan, or El Pain, is working.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's definitely getting better, isn't it? Both cars perform much better. I mean, Gasly finished 12th and he was only a little bit behind. Ocon had quite a good race himself. They actually had quite a good bit of racing towards the start where Alpine, both drivers were side by side going through like four or five different corners. And Brundle's reaction was quite funny. He was just like, wait, what? And like two cars went in side by side through the slow section. He was like, I didn't think they could fit. So that was quite good. Really good racing between the two of them. And yeah, they've definitely obviously made some good steps and are in the hunt now. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, they nearly... Ocon was pretty close to beating Fernando Alonso. Like, Alonso, you know, had quite a good race yesterday, but he was quite close to losing out to Ocon. So if they can overhaul Aston Martin, that'll be massive. That'll be massive for them. And I do think they've got two drivers that are better than Lance Stroll. So
100%,
the nearer they get, 100%. The closer they get, the more likely it is they're going to pick up more points. So yeah, good. I'm glad, because they were in the mire, weren't they, at the start of this year. So
yeah. Onwards, I mean, upwards. We've covered them, before, but it's such a shame they've taken such a big backward step when a lot of people have taken forward steps. But yeah, oh well. Right, with that, we'll take a very quick pit stop. Hello there, welcome back from the break. Hope you had a jolly old time. So, we've covered off the Miami Grand Prix in quite a lot of detail. Yeah, if you're a Lando Norris fan, don't at us. We've covered them in detail, so don't think fine. And again, well done to him. There's a bit of a story that's kind of bubbling away. Well, there's two that's bubbling away in the background, and one we're going to devote into more detail next week, and that's the Adrian Newey deciding to leave Red Bull. We'll cover that in all detail next week, why he's going, why he's such a genius, why it's such a big deal, and our sort of speculation on where he might go, what he might do. I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as Formula One Twitter thinks it's going to be. So we'll cover that. We'll cover that next week. So come back for that one. But we just want to quickly cover off Kimi Antonelli, or Andrea Kimi Antonelli. That's it, because if everyone's calling him the wrong name, Antonelli, who is the young driver on Mercedes books. He's currently in F2. He completely skipped F3. He's had two tests in the W13, which is the car Lewis won the world championship in. Is that correct? No, 2 years.
No,
two years
it's the bouncy one, wasn't it? It's the one George won. The bouncy one, yeah.
So he's had two tests in that, and that's apparently gone very well. He apparently's got a test up against Mick Schumacher. I think it's this week as well. There's been reports that the FIA have received a request from a team to give Antonelli his super license now before he turns 18, with the view of someone, I think he turns 18 like in the summer, and someone's looking to bring him in. The speculation is that Williams are looking to bring him in to replace Sargent. And then there's also reports that they want him for 2 years, which obviously then doesn't, you know, if you're Toto Wolff, I'm not sure that works out with your plan of trying to replace Lewis. What do you want to get your take on? What you think about Antonelli, and, you know, this is obviously quite unprecedented to see such a young driver being hyped up this much, being sort of fast-tracked into Formula One. What's your take on it?
Yeah, he is an outstanding talent, and based on stuff that's on Twitter about those tests, I think the team were blown away by how good he was in that car. Bear in mind, that car wasn't great. You and I both agreed, not a good Mercedes, that one at all. But no, the team were like, he was incredible in that test. So yeah, I think the test with Mick Schumacher will be really interesting this week. It feels like a bit of a slam dunk for Williams, right? Like, even if they just get him for sort of 70% of this season, I think it's worth it. There's no way he doesn't outperform Logan Sargeant. Mercedes obviously get a look at him in a Formula One car in race trim in races before potentially taking a punt on him and agreeing a contract later this year and then giving him a seat for next year, if that is their plan. I mean, sounds like they're still working on trying to lure Max off Red Bull, which would be really funny. But
I've got thoughts.
Oh, okay, go on, hit me.
So I think Toto going after Max publicly is just a game to try and destabilize Red Bull and Max and unsettle them all.
Really?
I think if they wanted him properly, I think they would have gone and got him quite quickly. I think it's purely a game to wind them all up and to unsettle them, and they're trying to pounce that. I think I will say this now. I will be shocked if, like, I will eat my hat if Verstappen ends up at Mercedes and either for next season or the season after. I will be really shocked because I just think it's just a game they're all playing to try and assess it. And I think actually the real plan is to get Antonelli and assess Antonelli, and if not, it'll be someone like Sainz.
Okay, interesting.
That's my
all theory. Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, I appreciate their position. I think you're probably right about the odds of Max going to Mercedes being very low, but I also don't think that necessarily means that they're not trying in like a real way to try and get him if they think there's a whiff of him being available. But yeah, we shall see. But no, for Antonelli, I think, yeah, like he should be getting into Formula 1 this year. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. It's kind of annoying, all this like super license rubbish that they have to go through to get into the sport. Like it's, I don't know how many times we have to have a young driver come into the sport and do an amazing job, even though they're still a teenager, for the people at Formula 1 to wake up and realise if you're good enough, you're old enough. But there we are. It's where we are. So, I think he will find his way into Formula 1, probably at Williams. If I had to put money on it, I'd say he'll be at Williams this year and then he'll be at Mercedes next year. I think I'm in line with you. I think the way Antonelli's been talked about and how Mercedes was sort of burned with Verstappen, because they famously had him, didn't they? And couldn't progress him fast enough, so he went to Red Bull and they lost the talent. I don't think they want to make the same mistake with Antonelli. So yeah, my suspicion is he will end up at Mercedes next year and Sainz, I don't know, but I think maybe he'll end up at Audi. He'll take that offer because I don't see any other better ones currently. But yes, exciting. I'll be really excited to see him actually. See him in Formula One. I mean, there are been a lot of really good young drivers who've had like goes in Formula One that I really feel like should have seats, like Liam Lawson. I think Behrman's in that category as well. But if Mercedes want to kind of fast track Antonelli and they can get people to agree to it, that would be great because I think the sport needs some new blood. We need some new drivers, new young drivers, and we need some hyped up young talents to come in and potentially take the fight to Max as well, with someone like, you know, or take the fight to Max, probably Charles and Lando as well. But hopeful. I'm hopeful it will happen. Do you think it will? Do you think we'll see him in a Williams this year?
It sounds like it. I mean, I think the thing with the Formula One like driver market is kind of a lot of sort of dominoes have got to fall in place, right? I think Williams want him for at least 2 years, which I think is not a bad idea because it gives him time to get up to speed in F1, and also you don't want to rush him in. But then if he is some sort of generational talent, you don't want him to be stuck in a Williams for a year, that, which then makes the replacing, you know, sending off to Williams is kind of good in the short term, but actually for next year makes it more difficult because you've either got to see how he gets on this season, make a call very, very late, and if he's not ready, you know, someone like Sainz could be signed, sealed somewhere else. So you kind of need to make that call. I almost wonder if the smart move, if I'm Toto Wolff, is you say, right, you can have him for 18 months. You can have him from halfway through the season and all of next year. And in the meantime, we'll get signs and we'll have him and George. And then we'll assess of those two who is worthy to be alongside Antonelli. If Antonelli is this generational talent, then kind of like a shoot-off between Carlos and George, which I think would be quite entertaining.
I'd love to see it. I just can't see Sainz signing a contract for a year. I just don't. Yeah, he's too good. I think he'll be looking for a 3-year deal minimum, I would have thought, somewhere. He doesn't want to be in the same situation he's in now, where he's like a third of the way through the season, fighting with another, you know, fighting with quite a good teammate, and one who's been at Mercedes a few years now.
It is fascinating that Mercedes seat doesn't seem to be close to being signed up yet. Like, it's still very much empty. And it must be because they're assessing Antonelli. Yeah. That, you know, to go through that, if they wanted Alonso, they would have got him. They didn't. Sainz has been available for 3 months now, and they've still not got him. Albon's probably on the market as well. You know, there's Mick Schumacher, which is an off left field. Like, they, if they really wanted to tie that seat up, they would have. But it must be because of the assessment of Antonelli. Yeah. And then I think the Williams kind of coming in for him as well is kind of like probably made it a bit more complicated. It's not as straightforward as being like, oh, actually, no, we'll give him that one. But I think I saw comments from Toto this week saying like Antonelli just needs to focus on F2. And, you know, in F2, he's only ninth, so he's not set the world alight yet. But yeah, it'll be a very interesting story to follow. And, you know, we might spend a lot of time in this podcast in the future charting the rise of Antonelli and him being the next sort of superstar, which would be quite a cool thing to do, yeah, really.
Maybe.
Because we're not, the last sort of young breakthrough we've really had, Charles, or would you say Max? Like,
this level, probably Charles. I don't think Piastri should be underrated, but I don't think the hype was anywhere near what it is for what it is for Antonelli at the minute.
Whereas Charles has always been very hyped up, and it was very impressive in F2 and F3, and obviously Max, you know, was fast tracked into it as well.
Yep.
Well, let's see what happens. You know, and on the topic of predicting lineups, let's go on to the predictions game and the results of this week's race. How have we both got on?
We've both done okay. Yeah, pretty good. Okay. It's quite close, so we'll come to that. I'll start. Who would you like to go first? Whose results would you like first?
We'll have yours first, because that will set up nicely, because I think I had the big result last week, so I'll give you the honour of going first.
Okay, thank you. All right. So I had number 17, Zhou Guanyu, who I predicted to finish in 16th. He ended up 14th. So I picked up... Oh, hold on. Yeah. Picked up 2 for him. I've miscounted. Already. Ooh, first one. I'd miscounted.
We've had our first Lando Norris win. We've had our first double Latifi to the same person. And we've had our first miscalculation.
I've done it again. See, I keep doing myself a disservice here. I awarded myself an extra point. I predicted him to finish 16th. He finished 14th. And I'd randomly written 3 points next to him. I'm like, wait, hold on a minute.
You can have 3 if you want.
Thank you. Good. Okay, well, I'm glad I spotted that. Thank you. I had George Russell, who I predicted to finish in 6th. He finished in 8th, so I picked up 2. Okay, that's where I went wrong. That's where my arithmetic went wrong.
Have you given him three? Have you given yourself 3 for that as well?
3 for Zhou Guanyu and 1 for Russell, and it should have been 2 for both. Lol.
Okay.
And then I had Pierre Gasly, who I predicted to finish in 14th. He finished in 12th, so I picked up 2 for him as well. So a trio of 2s for 6 points for me this week.
Very good.
You had Daniel Ricciardo, who you predicted to finish in 13th, and he finished in 15th, so you got 2 points for him. You had Carlos Sainz, who you predicted to finish in 3rd, and because of his penalty, he ended up finishing in 5th, so you picked up 2 points for him.
Oh, we're both very consistent.
And you had Valtteri Bottas, who you predicted to finish in 15th, and he finished in 16th. So you got 1 point for Valtteri for a total of 5, so you win by 1.
Wow. Oh, wow. Very close.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, 5 scores of 2 is pretty funny. And the fact that I clearly can't count beyond 2 says a lot about my mental arithmetic.
Yeah.
But yes, very good. Yeah, very good.
Very nice. Top work. And we'll do our predictions for Imola at the end of next week's episode.
Yes, that sounds good. Yeah, we'll do our Adrian Newey chat and then predictions for Imola. We're into Europe. The European leg has arrived.
We can predict where Newey's going and then make some predictions for it. Indeed. Have we still got Canada halfway through this year, halfway through the European stint? Is that always the thing? Because they always do that really annoying thing where it's like, well, we're in the European stage and then we'll just randomly go to Canada.
Yeah.
I know Baku's much later now.
I thought they changed it so they didn't have to do that, but maybe not. So we've got Imola, Monaco. Yes, you're right. Canada, 7th of June to 9th of June.
Nice.
Then back to Spain, Austria, and then UK, Hungary, Belgium, Netherlands, Italy. And then it's back here after that. So yeah, we were in Europe for quite a while. There's quite a few races this summer. Hopefully, something that happens this year. There's no flooding and whatnot.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Well, let's see what happens. But it's, you know, sounds like things should be fine.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. Thanks very much for joining us. Remember to subscribe and leave a review on your podcast platform of choice. If you enjoyed it, why don't you share the podcast with a friend? We are both on Twitter. Will is at WPoiser and I am at Lights Out Sam. On Instagram, we are at The Lights Out Pod.
The Instagram game has been quite quiet whilst I was just in the world of waking up, but you'll see some activity on that over the coming weeks, hopefully. So keep your eyes peeled. I feel like we're both trying to tweet more as well. We've both been very busy, so put out some top band.
We will.
Very good. That's all from us. All the best and goodbye.
Oh, bye.